Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday morning, November the 6th, 2023, 15 minutes past the hour, 42 degrees and sunny skies here in the Marion area. And election week is upon us here in the Marion area. Can you imagine that? It is election week. Now, we've got somebody on the line who I can't wait to talk to because there are a lot of big issues going on tomorrow night, election night, but I've got to do this very quickly for our own good here at the station. Tomorrow night, our live election coverage will start at 7:15 p.m., and we will not go off the air until all the races are covered. Now, we will have Pastor Craig at Republican headquarters. Linda Sims will be at Democratic headquarters. Matt Morgan will be at the Board of Elections. I will be in the studio with Sean Kraft, Terry Tackett, and Carrington Nelson, who will be giving us state updates on issue 1 and 2. And I can finally make the announcement this morning. Oh, by the way, Glenn Coble will be in studio with us. First time in the history of elections that a mayoral candidate will be live in the studio finding out his fate tomorrow night as he sits in the studio with us for election coverage. And as of this weekend, I can announce that also in the studio with us live tomorrow night will be 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. So what a team we're going to have in the studio and all around Marion. We are not going to break away after 7:15 tomorrow night. You will get all your local results, all your state results. It will be something you won't want to miss. Download the free TuneIn app on any mobile device. Search WGH Talk. Go to the website, WWGH1071.com, and I believe we will also be broadcasting on Facebook Live. So take a look at that. So tomorrow night, 7:15 p.m. Now, we've been talking a lot about things going on here in Marion in regard to school boards as we head into the big election tomorrow night. We've had a focus on the River Valley School Board. We certainly talked a lot about that last week and what's going on there, but we should not neglect the fact that the Marion City School Board has some positions up for grabs, and in our first hour this morning, we are going to discuss that with one of the current members of the Marion County School Board and somebody who is running again as we head into tomorrow, Election Day, Tara Dyer. Tara, how are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Good to speak with you. The day before Election Day, is it exciting for you?
I've got some nerves, but I always do. I mean, if you don't have nerves and, you know, those butterflies in your stomach, that means that you're just not prepared. So, yeah, it's nerve-wracking and, you know, dealing with health issues on top of that, it is just, it's just not good for my nerves.
I can understand. Tara, I wanted to give people a little background this morning who might not be aware of how you came to your position and what's been going on and how many seats are available.
Good.
Yeah, so let's give them the background. How did you come to the Marion City School Board?
I came to the Marion City School Board through an appointment from Judge Fergali. The appointment came as a result of a 2-2 tie from the actual sitting members of the Marion City Schools Board. Whenever that occurs, then the tie must be broken in the juvenile court system, and at the time, Judge Fergali was sitting judge. He's since been retired. He was sitting judge at that time, and it was up to him to review the applications as well as talk to the candidate and then find one that he felt would be a good fit for the board of Marion City Schools. I can't remember how many applicants there actually were. I just remember how jubilant I was that he chose me.
Now, do you remember what he said as he chose you, why he felt you would be the best qualified?
Of course. Of course, it's written indelibly in my mind. As I before I took the oath, he whispered in my ear, because there were probably about 30, 40 people in the audience waiting to see me get sworn in by Judge Fregali, and he whispered in my ear, he said, "There's no doubt in my mind that you are the best candidate for this position and that you will do a phenomenal job."
Now, it's very interesting, and we should refresh people's mind, that this was a very tumultuous time for the Marion City School Board. The president had resigned within that year. Other members were coming and going, and we got to this 2-2 tie to fill the vacant seat, which to a lot of people's knowledge had never happened before, that it would have to go to a judge to make that decision. What was causing that deadlock?
That's a very good question. It honestly, it was a fight to get on the board, and it's been a fight to maintain after, 18 months, you know, the integrity behind making those decisions and doing what's best for kids, staff, and community. And if you examine our voting record, oftentimes it, with most boards, because of the work that you do behind the scenes and the your research and talking to the superintendent or the staff, you get it ironed out so that when in front of the public, you will look like you're united and have a 5-0 consensus of whatever is brought forth as far as business is concerned. Because remember, Scott, the school board meeting is a business meeting. It is a business meeting to take care of the business of whatever school district you are representing. And most of our votes have been 3-2, 3-2. For example, our superintendent, Olympia Della Flora, was voted in on a 3-2 vote. We have a phenomenal principal at Harding High School, Dr. Adonis Bolden. He came in on a 3-2 vote. I mean, so it's, you know, the acrimony, you know, it's obvious by our voting records. So, you know, when you look at that and how I came in, it's just no surprise that, you know, my tenure would be different. So it's been rocky. It's been a kind of a different situation for me.
Tara, just as we go into the election tomorrow, let people know, what is the current makeup? Who is on the Marion City School Board? Obviously yourself. Who are the other four members?
Yeah, Scott Weibling. His tenure is up in 25. Rocky Ratliff, his tenure is up in 25, which leaves the three positions that are going to be elected by the voters tomorrow. Ted McInnes was the senior most member of the Marion City Schools Board. He had like 33 years, and I think his wife told him no mas, so he decided not to run. And then Kelly McKay, who had a fatal flaw on her petition. So her petition was flagged, and she was unable to be placed on the ballot. So the three positions that are up then are the current president, Kelly McKay, Ted McInnes, who has decided not to run again, and myself. And remember, I was appointed to take the remaining time from Leslie Snyder, who, as you alluded to, resigned, and I was honored to fill and try to, you know, stand in her footsteps. It was an honor.
Now it's very interesting. So tomorrow night we have three positions open. Two of which will not be filled by the previous members, Ted McGinnis, who has decided to retire,
right,
and Kelly
right.
McKay, who unfortunately right. had a flaw on her application.
Right.
So that being said, when we go back to the 3-2 votes and the acrimony mm-hmm. that has been happening on this board to get the principal mm-hmm. of Harding in, to get the new superintendent in, are there two people continuously voting no, or does that change from vote to vote?
I would think that for me, it looked like it's the same two people. But let me add on to that. Your vote is something that can be secured. If it's a no vote, by either looking at whatever's on the agenda and trying to iron out why it is you are voting no, or what difficulties, because each one of our meetings starts with when you go into these votes, Scott, and you probably know this, and so this is school boardology 101, so It says something to the effect that the superintendent recommends blah, 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 blah. So you get the agenda like the Wednesday before the meeting starts, before the Monday's meeting, and then it's just a tentative agenda. But then you get the final agenda on Friday before the meeting. So why is that important? That's important because you have those days, Scott, to, if you have some uncertainty or if you want to scrutinize something that the superintendent is recommending or something like that, you then have a conversation with him or her and say, hey, I don't like the fact that blah, 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 and so can we remove it until we get more information? Or something like that. So you have the opportunity before you vote no, you know, to actually have conversation and dialogue as to why, you know, maybe I've talked to her, or maybe I've seen something that is like, I don't know if this will be good for, can we talk about it or can we tweak it or whatever. So you have the opportunity during those days in which to actually talk to the superintendent and voice your displeasure as to, like, what is it that, you know, about the superintendent's recommendation that you find to be distasteful. So, actually, I think what I'm trying to say, which some may disagree, so this is just my opinion, if you have, you should never have a 3-2 vote. I've looked at surrounding board meetings, and like, for example, Pleasant, I think one time they had a 4-1 vote. Elgin, it's rare. So it's very rare to have a 3-2 vote is the point I'm trying to make.
When it comes to these 3-2 votes, particularly in the principal of Harding and the superintendent, was it the same two people voting no? Because I know this
yes.
wasn't. And just for, I mean, because it's on the record, who were the two that were voting no?
Rocky Ratliff and Scott Weibling.
Now, why do you...
Who also voted no on the equity audit.
Now, why do you feel that is, as a school board member, being on the inside somewhat and being a part of these conversations?
For me, I come from with a different lens, Scott, and their reasoning is their reasoning. For example, with the Dr. Bolden, the rationale was that we had jumped into it too quickly, that we needed to create an interim principal and leave that position open for a year to give us opportunity to find or look at other candidates. so to speak. So that was the rationale behind that particular one. As far as Olympia, Della Flora was concerned, the rationale behind that, if my memory serves me correct, is that she had just been promoted to a assistant superintendent's position, and she needed to, quote-unquote, stay in that position for a little while to kind of, like, learn the ropes before she got promoted to the superintendent's job. So, and like you said, all this stuff is on record, and people are feel free to verify what I'm saying. So that was the rationale behind those particular, and those, you know, the diversity things are not the only things that these two have voted against. So I don't want it to appear as if it is an equity thing. Although in our conversation today, I will point out several instances in which I feel there has been disrespect for African-American leadership, specifically as it pertains to me. So I don't want it to appear as if that were the case or is the case. You know me, and you know how long I've been in the social justice business. And, I feel like Martin Luther King, you know, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice in whatever facet phase that we see. And even at the lowest level of government, which in this particular case is the school board, I feel it's my duty and obligation to call it out. And I also feel that representation matters. And as we look at the makeup of the school board, I wasn't the first African-American on the school board. And I feel, if it's God's will, I won't be the last. But I feel that I haven't done an awfully bad job of doing what's best for staff, students, and community in our district.
Now, just to lay the table for where we're going with this, when it came to your appointment, when the vote was deadlocked, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, was it not Ted McGinnis and Kelly McKay who at that time said yes, and Ratliff and Weibling who said no at that point?
Correct.
Yes.
And here's the really weird part about it. So I'm on vacation in Hawaii, and I had carried all of these books over, and with my family, and I was like studying stuff on the plane so that I could be prepared, and we were getting ready to do a new reading series. So if I was appointed, I wanted to be able to speak intelligently about CKLA and everything. And so, I mean, you know the difference that extra luggage makes and how much you have to pay. So I'm waiting, you know, in Hawaii, you know, under a palm tree, thinking that this interview was going to be a slam dunk. So I took the initial interview from these four board members and on the sunny beach of Kona in Hawaii, and I'm thinking, man, this is a sign. And, man, I was so disheartened when I got the call not too much after that that said I hadn't been approved. So it's just been a tumultuous adventure for me, but not one that has been so distasteful that I have it started to prepare. Like in January, I started collecting signatures and trying to, you know, make the final decision on whether or not I could collect I think it was 150 signatures, and that I truly wanted to continue to be in that hostile situation, you know, because, you know, normally people like me, you know, and they respect that I have been an educator for 35 years. I've lived in this community forever. I do many things in the community. I love Marion, and Scott, I love education. You know, I mean, it's just something that I have a passion for. And so I had to make some major decisions starting in January as to would I continue to try to then, remember I was appointed to put my name actually on the ballot to be elected to the Marion City Schools Board. So it was a big decision, but not one that I did not weigh in and talk to my family. And because, you know, family, they're in on it too. You know, you have to have their support in order to be successful.
You know, Tara, you said something there that was kind of interesting. You used the word hostile to describe the situation with the current board. Why would you call it hostile?
Because to me, sometimes the board meetings don't, one of the things that when we were searching for a superintendent, many of the people expressed on their surveys that they wanted a board that was not dysfunctional, that a board that treated each other with respect and dignity and treated staff in the exact same way and kept in mind what, you know, the center of all of it was our kids. And oftentimes there was yelling, there was disrespect given to especially, you know, superintendents and so on. It's just not a way to conduct business, because remember, the board meeting is a business meeting. So it became hostile.
I want to set the scene for tomorrow's election. As we have said, there will be three seats opened. The seat vacated by Ted McGinnis, who's retiring, Kelly McKay, who had an error on her application, and your seat. Who is running for school board along with you tomorrow to fill these three positions?
Actually, two retired teachers, Kathy Swanger and Frank Bolnick, and also Evan Geyer, who did do some teaching and also coaching within the Marion City Schools, and myself.
Now, three people will be chosen out of the four that are up, so only one person will end up not being elected to the Marion City School Board. Now, an interesting thing here is the vote makeup, because clearly, as we have went over, it looks as if in situations, Mr. Ratliff and Mr. Weibling, who are in there through 25, will continue to vote the way they vote. Ted McGinnis and Kelly McKay, who have tended to vote with you, are gone. Do you feel out of these three, because majority rules on this board, do you three that feel that all three of these candidates, if elected, would tend to support you, or are they of the camp of Ratliff and Weibling, or do you even know at this point?
So for me, that's a very interesting question, because Rocky is campaigning hard for these other three, you know, yard signs in the yard, on their building, yard signs. I do believe Evan is his neighbor. I've heard tell of secret meetings at allegedly, so I must say allegedly, because I don't have the facts, and I think maybe even have been recruited by Mr. Ratliff. But when you become an elected official, that's totally different. I mean, when you put your hand on that Bible and swear to uphold, you know, the Constitution, in the Ohio Revised Codes, you're swearing to, you know, maintain the dignity of the office in which you are being sworn into. So I think Rocky's campaigning very hard for him. I'm not too sure about Scott. Scott's job has been really demanding, I don't know how much time and commitment he has been able to put into this actual campaign. But I know Rocky Ratliff has been campaigning hard for these other three, which is the well, I'll let you go ahead and ask questions. So you can guide the conversation, because that's why I sent you that picture of the billboard, and I also sent you the Crawford County Now article and all those type things, because of my particular feelings toward that. And that's why I felt it was important to have this conversation this morning to let the voters know that I haven't been able to get out, Scott, like last week, because, you know, I had my gallbladder removed, and usually I'm out canvassing, I'm walking the streets trying to do some stuff. And like I said, I've also been preparing since January. But I just felt it was important to have this conversation with your listeners today to let them know that Tara Dyer is in this race, and she's in it to win it. And I've been sidelined for illness sake just this week, but it's still all good. So, yeah, and I think I even heard that they've already got plans as to who's going to be the president and who they're going to, you know, elect and so forth. And, you know, and I'm saying all this stuff out loud, so in the event that it does happen, people can say, hey, yeah, Tara Dyer said that this was going to happen.
Well, Tara, I want to go through one issue here, and then I want to get to the issues that you want to speak about here. Because when we look at the makeup here, as it is, you're a candidate, Kathy Swanger, Mr. Volnick, and Mr. Geyer. Now, I think people going into the voting booth, from what I've heard, feel that Mrs. Swanger and Mr. Volnick would tend to be more of the mold of the Ted McGinnis, Kelly McKay, school board member, that they would would tend to be, they would vote that way. They might have voted for the superintendent. They might have voted for the principal. That Geyer might be the odd person out here. We don't really know which way he would end up. And one of these people will end up being the swing vote. Is that what the voters should believe tomorrow, that Swanger and Volnick fall more in the Kelly McKay, Ted McGinnis, Tara Dyer mold, and maybe Mr. Geyer doesn't? Or are we completely wrong on that?
See, Kathy Swanger was a politician before. So she's very savvy. She's smart. She knows education. But did you remember she was on city council?
Yes.
And as an independent. So she's a politician and very savvy. And Frank Volnick was on the school board once before as well, like a long time ago. I can't remember when or whatever. I don't know too much about Evan except that he is the same age as my oldest child. So when it constitutes voting, I would think that an elected official would do as I alluded to early, and that is study. You got to make sure that you're meeting with the superintendent. You got to make sure that, and the superintendent has said that that's one of her goals, is to make sure that monthly she meets with each one of the school board members. You got to meet with her, you know, and try to see if what she's doing is in alignment with what we want, where we're going as a district. That's got to happen. And currently, Scott or Rocky never meet with her. You know, they have opportunities to sit down and talk with her, and they never meet with her at all. So they don't take her up on, you know, like if they have it that 3-2 objection of talking to her and discussing why they don't. I think they're more They would like to do a lot of the discussion in on the public forum, which sometimes can be lengthy because, you know, a lot of the legwork is done before the meeting, and I'm pretty sure you know that, you know. So, as far as, you know, integrity, you would pray that these people would meet with the superintendent, study the issues. Board policy prohibits us from actually going out and talking to staff members unless you get permission from the superintendent. So you can't actually talk to staff. You have to get her permission. And most oftentimes she gives you permission, but it's just protocol. So, and being aware of what the issues are so you can study them so that when you do vote no, or if you vote no, you've studied to show yourself approved.
Tara, let me,
that makes sense.
It does. And let me put it to you this way. I believe you get three choices when you vote for a school board if you're in the Marion City School District.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you will vote for yourself. And I don't mm-hmm. know if you voted early because of your surgery or not.
Mm-hmm.
But would you want to tell us of the three that are up, the other two that you prefer just as a voter?
I only voted for myself.
And now, and that is a, what's the reason behind that?
Well, I voted for myself because, for me, and my experience with, you know, things that, have been happening and, just, me studying and the landscape and so on and so forth. I just felt I'm a safe bet, you know, to vote on myself. And people need to realize that when you go in there, you don't have to vote for three people. You can vote for one person.
Now, Tara, you know, I want to get to these issues. We've got 14 minutes left here. What are the things that have been happening since we have learned who the candidates are going to be and that this election is going to happen that have made you uncomfortable?
Well, and I know, and even after the election, win or lose, I'll come back and we'll have a part two to this discussion because I always love talking with you, and I hear you got new digs, so I can't wait to come and see them.
Absolutely.
So for me, I sent you a picture of a billboard that I believe is Mike Zucker's billboard in the center of town that has these three candidates together with the Marion City Schools emblem. And according to board policy, you cannot use the Marion City Schools logo for any political, any commercial. That'd be like you getting our logo, putting it on a shirt, and then trying to sell those shirts for profit. You can't do that, you know. So my fear was that as you're stopped at that light, either on Prospect or Church, and you see these advertisements, it's a done deal that you see all these three candidates with the Marion City Schools logo. To me, that was like a FAW endorsement. So I had problems with that. So then I had problems with the format by which OPSI, which is a classified union, rendered their endorsements. It was one of the most awful experiences that I've ever had in my life, was the interview that I had with this particular labor union. It was discriminatory. It foreshadowed what they were not going to endorse me. I think I sent you emails from October when one of the leadership sent me an email that was very distasteful. As a matter of fact, he mentioned in the email, "Well, we'll see you when we vote," kind of a thing. So to me, that was foreshadowing that I was not going to get that endorsement. But And I talked to Ted McInnes about it, and I said, Ted, you know, I'm not going to go because they're not going to endorse me, and I may as well save myself the time, the effort, and the energy. And Ted said, you can't duck out on these issues. If you want to be on the school board, you're going to have to deal with, you know, these this membership, you know. And so that endorsement, and in that interview, Scott, they mentioned the N-word.
They said it out loud, or did they say N-word?
They said, they didn't actually say the word, but they said the N-word. And then, because I believe these were plants, these people there, they said the N-word. And then they also, one of the members said something about privilege, you know. So they said the N-word, and they mentioned privilege, right? And then, okay, so they're asking me these questions. Now, I'm the first to be interviewed, right? So, but they didn't ask these other three candidates anything about the N-word or about privilege. So to me, that was very discriminatory.
So the members of this union said N-word in the interview with you, who the only African-American candidate at this time, did not do it with the other candidates. What was the context of this?
So the context is this. So the questioning was, it said something like, I do this in the locker rooms, and I hear these students saying the N-word to each other, but if I say the N-word, then I'm the bad guy, and I get wrote up and all this. And I'm like, what? You know, what does that have to do with me? You know, a lot, there were members in there that were very upset. There was only one African American in the membership who was almost as uncomfortable as I was. So I even reported it to our superintendent. I reported it to our legal, and I reported it to their head, which is OPSI's leader. And, the OC leader said that as long as they did not call me the N-word, then everything was cool, you know? And I'm like, wow, you know? So all of these things led me to believe that they were not going to endorse me. And so lo and behold, and I sent you the emails of this whole story, so you can see the paper trail of, you know, what they said to me. And, you know, not only that, I know our time is running out, but not only that, but they were not, I babysit for my grandkids, and they were not willing to bend as far as my time was concerned. They wanted me there at 5 o'clock, and by gosh, you know, my daughter she works in Columbus, and she had to drive like a bat out of hell to get to Harding so that I can make it to that interview on time. And we're exchanging kids and diaper bags and everything in Harding's parking lot, you know, so that I can go in and be treated like that at that interview. So it was disgusting. I've never, ever in my life been treated like that. And I'm 66 years old and have lived in Marion all my life, and I have never, ever been treated like that. So, so I knew I wasn't going to get that endorsement. So, to me, it gives me a queasiness in my stomach every time I talk about that. Go ahead.
Just to clear that, who did get the endorsement?
The three that you saw in the picture that I sent you of the billboard.
So the other three.
Right.
Now,
and there were two interviews too. I hate to interrupt you. There were two interviews. One I met with leadership with OPSI, and the other with the membership body. And when I met with leadership, they were praising me about how wonderful of an African American leader I was in the community, and how they saw, you know, my community involvement as a plus, And we talked about old school stuff where, because my mom cleaned the buildings, you know, Harding freshman. And I said, I know my mom is smiling down on me, you know, because, you know, our family has gone from cleaning the buildings to being on the school board. So that meeting, I left that meeting, I was very confident. I was like, wow, I might get a shot at this. But then when I met with membership, it was awful. And then the hurtful thing was that there were secretaries in there that know the body of my work. I mentor 4 kids in the district, you know. So I'm a mentor, I'm a school board member. I mean, and these secretaries know the body of my work, you know, and people who have seen me do stuff in the, you know, I put in about 50 hours a week in the Marion City Schools District, you know, and so it was just hurtful. So, so that, and then the other thing, so it was the billboard, this OTC endorsement, and then that Crawford County Now that I sent you. To me, this follows the same scenario that happens when this political machine that exists in Marion doesn't want you. You know, they did it with Bobby Landon. They did it with Ron Arusi. So what they do is they come at you. They try to smear you. They try to turn everybody against you. You know, then they find some social media or media where they have them do some kind of a story indicating that, you know, the person that they're trying to smear isn't worthy. And they did that with Bobby Landon. They did it with Ron Irusi. And I should have sent you the articles that I dug up with Bobby Landon as well as Ron Irusi. And then they try to do it to me, smear my name, get all these people against me, you know, and then put up their candidates so their candidates can win. So,
and we should also mention that for the Crawford County Now article, the headline was for the first time union to give endorsement to candidates.
Right.
So this hasn't happened in the past.
Right. Yeah, it has happened.
Yeah. So the article itself, the headline is wrong.
What do you mean it's wrong?
Well, when it says for the first time union to give endorsement to candidates, this is the first time the union has done that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's
and,
important.
Yeah, that is important. And, you know, and the thing that really made me want to do this interview with you is they lauded these individuals as the best. You know, and I sent you my credentials, you know, as far as what I bring to the district, and you know, I have a bachelor's and a master's. I'm on Ohio School Board Diverse Committee. I'm on the Legislative Committee. I'm on the Student Achievement Committee. I'm on the Tri-Rivers School Board, where I'm legislative liaison there. I have a tremendous board experience. I'm on Turning Points Board. I'm on the Peace and Freedom Board. I'm on the Black Hair. I mean, so that's what really got me is that when they weighed those three and their credentials against what I bring, you know, in order to establish and you know, discern who they would. I wonder what barometer they use in order to make those decisions. Now, according to them, it was a vote. Their membership voted for, you know, those. So I wonder what kind of information, you know, the membership got or, you know, and I truly was discombobulated when I walked in there because I was the first one dealing with grandkids in the parking lot. I mean, it was just, you know, probably not my best work, but still. So that's the thing that really got me, Scott, was when they weighed what my credentials were against those three. I mean, in that article, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Well, 2 questions here, Tara, that I think are important. Mm-hmm. When you feel that mm-hmm. this is something to discredit you, to get rid of you, who's behind it, in your opinion?
See, and for me to say, I've already been warned by OPC leadership, you know, that they got big lawyers, and I better be very precise and concise in what I say. But trust me, you know, I'm working on some things, and this won't be the last that you hear of this. So trust me, I've got something up my sleeve. And then I can clearly say, you know, X, Y, and Z was behind this. They are doing, you know, they did this so that I wouldn't be on the school board, and so on and so forth. So trust me, this is not the end of this. So, but anyways, I've been warned by OPC leadership that their lawyers will come at me if I, so that's why I'm just giving you the facts. Yeah. These things can be verified utilizing, you know, different methods.
Now, Tara, if things don't turn out your way tomorrow and the other three new candidates, Volnick, Swanger, and Geyer, mm-hmm. are elected, because of what's been done, using the logo in the billboard, so on and so forth, which are, as you said, not supposed to be done, would you protest the results of this election because of these things?
You know, I promised Olympia De La Flora that I would not want to be a distraction ever. She has a hard enough job with the disrespect of African-American leadership that's being shown on various levels, you know, in the Marion City Schools District. So I don't think I would protest it. I think I would continue to do the work that I do in the district, continue to mentor, you know, my kids through Marion Mentors, continue to work on our homeless youth and trying to do things to help our homeless youth, continue to help Olympia and Johnny Jackson recruit minority candidates to come into our district, continue to be true to what the equity audit yielded to make us a better district, and just to do things to strengthen, you know, academically, the kids, and doing what's best for the kids in our district. So, you know, look, I will find something to do. I just love education. You know, I love being a part of it, and I get energized by, you know, working with staff and the students, you know, and, you know, even leadership. I just love it. But I am very busy in this community. And I will definitely find other things to do.
The bottom line question here.
I won't protest.
The bottom line question here, Tara, as we head into the election with about a minute left here tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
I think anybody listening to this, it hasn't been said explicitly, but when this comes down to whatever or whoever are not wanting you on the board any longer, does it have to do with the way you're voting, or does it have to do, as been implied here, with the color of your skin, in your opinion?
Scott, I think both. I think those secret backdoor meetings, there are plans. I have not been privy to that. I think you know, ultimately, they're trying to discard and get rid of minority leadership in Marion. It starts with me on the board. They didn't want Dr. Bolden there or Olympia there in the first place. So I think they're going to come after minority leadership in the Marion City Schools. And because obviously, and when I say they, I don't know who they is. I have an inkling, but like I said, I don't want to hurl allegations out there unless I have concrete proof.
Tara, I appreciate it. Best of luck tomorrow. I'm sure we'll be speaking again very soon, and I appreciate you for your candidness and time this morning, as always.
Thank you, and I'm sad that I didn't get invited to the election night party stuff. Are you going to have pizza?
we always have pizza. Well, you are invited to stop by, as always.
All right.
Thank you, Tara.
Good luck in your new place, and thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
Tara Dyer, there you go. School boards, keep on keeping on. All right, we're going to be back in 15 minutes.
You're listening to The Talking Place.